couldn't hear myself.
Sorry.
You're jamming like at the KFC.
Oh, my goodness. They were going crazy earlier.
They're going nuts.
They've turned KFC into a club.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so lit down there, you guys.
Kentucky
it's
Fried
so,
Clubbing.
The vibe is crazy.
They
when
have
you go
like
down
a
there.
Bluetooth speaker where they're playing music off of on the counter, and it is quite loud.
Rich yeah, took a video. It's pretty
intense.
It's
super
intense.
Loud. Today it was Pony by Ginuwine.
Wow. Excellent.
An excellent song.
Love Pony.
The number one hookup jam of 2002, but they were really blasting it throughout this KFC.
Was the machete guy dancing?
He was vibing. I think he and his machete are in love, so it was very tender between the two of them.
Was he back? Is he back?
I haven't seen him.
Oh. I thought
he's around. I'm sure he's
back.
Around, you know.
Can I also just give one more shout out to the KFC? They decorate for holidays like no
really?
Other business
oh, yeah.
I've ever seen. They're all decorated
really?
For Memorial Day right now. Yeah. At first, I thought they were early for 4th of July,
yet
but I think it's a Memorial Day. Yeah.
Sometimes. And it also, I had the embarrassing moment. I've been waiting for it. It's already happened with Rachel, where they know me enough that when I walked in without giving my, she was like, here you go. With
wow.
the bucket that I had ordered. Like, here you go.
So
she just knew it. She just knew.
Fault.
She just knew it was me when I walked in.
One of my regulars.
Yeah, exactly. She's
but
like,
you'd
one
never
of the regulars.
Ordered the bucket before.
But I had my name on the order because I ordered online.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was like, it was already ready to be picked up, and she knew I would be walking through that door.
How did the bucket treat you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. They put a lot of, so a lot of times they go heavier on the wings, and I'm not crazy about the KFC wings. I don't think they have a lot of meat to them. Yeah, thank you. And they had a lot of drummies today, which is my personal favorite cut of the chicken. I like a good drummy.
And you're eight.
Because I'm eight, and it's easier for me to eat and hold with my hands because I don't have the fine motor skills yet. I thought it was great today. There's still some in there, Chris, if you want any. I was going to bully Amy into trying some, but she never went into the office. Like, she had a sixth sense. It's like she knew something was going to happen.
Could you be bullied into KFC?
Amy, have you ever eaten KFC?
She ate KFC when she was 13 at a picnic. We've talked about this before.
That's right.
That was it?
I think so.
That's why I wanted to try some that's in the bucket.
Wow. Well, there's nothing like a bucket of chicken.
There's nothing like a bucket
pretty
of chicken.
Special.
If it were a full of rotisserie chicken, I would eat it.
Yeah, well,
you can pretend
get
it's
that.
Rotisserie chicken.
Well.
You know, it's a real conflicting feeling when you walk into a bar and they know you well enough that your drink's on the bar before you get up there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they know me, but also, damn, I come
but
here
also,
a lot.
Oh, that sucks.
So I can't imagine what it's like to walk into KFC.
Yeah,
like,
and they,
sir,
and they hand
here's
you,
your bucket.
They hand you a cardboard bucket that's already see-through because it's got so much grease in it, and you're like, they're
we've
like,
been
here
waiting.
You go.
We've been waiting for you, sir.
It's been ready for 5 minutes. We were starting to get worried about you. We thought something might have happened to you.
So why are you a mess today? You say on the Google Doc you're a mess?
I'm all over the place because I forgot my parking card thing, which I've never done before, so I feel like totally...
I had to go out to get him.
I had to ask Chris to come out and get me because Colin was just like staring at me through the door.
And he's paying you back.
Yeah, I've got like my arm load of stuff and I'm like, hi. And he's like,
Yeah, I was
like, you could open
getting ready
door.
For the show and Ronj gets up and goes, I gotta go let Dummy in.
Dummy. Also, so I went to the baseball game last night with my dad and his best friend, Chuck. I love Chuck. Chuck's the best. And so the three of us were there. We're having a great time. And right about the eighth or so inning, I get struck with a realization. And the realization is that I'm pretty sure both of the headlights in my car are out.
What do you mean? Why didn't you get out and look?
Well, because I wasn't driving yet. I was in the eighth inning. So
but
I'm at the baseball game.
You drove in the daytime to
yes.
the game.
Yes.
Not an issue.
And this is a car that I hadn't driven very much in a long time. And I just started driving it again. And I mean, it's summertime, you know, it's light out until like 8:30 and I'm not out past 8:30 most days. So I was like, I'm not really worried if both headlights, like my wife had said something
I'm
like,
I'm not really worried if both headlights are out.
Yes. And so my wife said something the other day,
precisely Dave.
Exactly. And I was like, she's like, I think both of your headlights are out. And I'm like, I'm not worried about it. It'll be fine. And then it occurred to me that I would have to drive in the total darkness, the shroud of night. Coming home from this baseball game yesterday.
So I feel panicky now for you.
Yeah, so it did turn out that both my headlights were
out. Oh my goodness.
You drove home with your headlights out.
My brights worked, but they're way too bright. They're
you are
super strong.
The single most annoying driver in St. Louis.
driving slow in the left lane with his brights on the whole time.
On purpose.
Well, I was trying to. I actually drove super aggressively last night because I didn't want to linger behind anybody and have them get blasted with my brights that I could do nothing about.
So then when did you see the UFO?
The UFO was on the way home still.
With the brights on.
On Route 3 with the brights blasting. I think I attracted them in that way.
They thought it was another ship.
And this thing, it was right by like the Wood River area, and it zipped down. It was super bright above me, and then it like zipped off, but in like that weird angle that they always say. So it went kind of like straight above me, straight out to in front of me. This is way up high in the sky.
You saw a Hartford, Illinois UFO?
And it zipped off. Well, Wood River. Hartford was behind
That's like a pontoon beach Bigfoot.
But I was like,
living in the ditch.
It was just what I was like, this could not get any stranger.
He's got a cardboard sign.
He's got a card.
This could not get any weirder, any stranger, this process of me trying to drive home. And there are people who were clearly getting mad at me. So then I was flipping the headlights off to show them, like, look.
Yeah, that's what they, that's how they took it.
Yeah, I have no choice.
We're able to pick up on that.
Oh, this poor man has no headlights. That's why he's driving with his brights on.
I've got no headlights. I did try to go with no headlights at all. That didn't work very well on Route 3 because there's not a lot of lights.
That's terrible.
No headlights.
I know where I'm going. It's Route 3. I'm not lost.
That's not the point.
What is the matter with you?
I don't know.
I didn't know that they were both out. I wasn't that concerned. Well,
did the rats chew them out?
I suspected.
Did the rats chew the wires?
I didn't know. I suspected. Did they chew them out?
Chew the wires.
No, because this is not the car with the mouse in it. This is a different car.
Are you food drunk from that bucket of chicken? You're kind of slurry.
It's all sitting right here. It's all sitting right here in the esophagus. That whole bucket. Let's say,
Wait, well, did you just eat the
reflux?
Did you just eat the bucket of chicken and nothing else?
Nah, I was like, oh, yeah. Well, what? How many pieces of chicken did you eat? I fixed myself a side salad in addition to the giant bucket of chicken
I
ordered.
How many pieces of chicken?
I have a whole cucumber in the bag.
How many pieces did I eat total?
Yeah.
Like six. Four so drums and like a breast of thigh.
Okay, so that's almost a full chicken.
Yeah. It's one hip away from an entire chicken.
You can put that together and another chicken could recognize it. That's 10.
You can take the bones and reconstruct a fossil.
You can reconstruct the face like you do with Neanderthals.
Put the chicken in the Smithsonian like Sue the T-Rex.
Oh.
I found a whole cucumber in my bag.
What?
Oh, my God.
I did. I was like,
What do you mean you found it?
There could not be a more opposite lunch.
I know.
Andrew ate a full chicken. Amy ate a full cucumber.
I was hungry.
And we both just found them.
I know. And I went to my bag, and I was like, what do I have in here? And it was a full English cucumber.
X-rated magician or something?
Yeah, what's an English cucumber? Did it have an accent?
No, you know.
Cucumber.
They've got they're just a different type of cucumber, but it was like individually wrapped. And I think I put it in the bag and forgot about it.
Do you think? So there's another alternative, but.
Yeah, what's option B?
I don't know, but it didn't sound good. Like, it wasn't, I wasn't like,
Yeah, it's never sounded good to anyone in the history of the world.
It does. I do love cucumbers, but I'd already eaten the salad that I brought. So I must have meant to put the cucumber in the salad, but just brought the whole cucumber.
The salad that was soaked in onions so bad that it was like,
upsetting. Yeah, it didn't smell like onions.
It wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
So there was some guac in there, and I think it had some spice.
She's an onion to lunch
no,
to work
but I don't
person.
Do onions.
She brought it in the office.
I don't do onions, and that's why I bought pre-made guac, and I think, I mean, it was fresh, but it was pre-made.
It's everybody knows it's two things. It's onions and fish.
Yeah. And you don't do those.
Yeah. It's very funny that Amy's lunch was less offensive or was more offensive to coworkers than mine, and she had a salad with guacamole, and I had an entire plastic bucket filled with fried chicken.
It's only offensive to you.
There's the food that's offensive, then there's the watching it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what's more offensive, looking at a salad with guac or looking at a bucket of chicken?
The salad with guac, I would say. I don't mind looking at a bucket of chicken.
I didn't say anything at the time, but did you notice that he wasn't eating all of the meat off of the chicken bones?
Yeah, I noticed most
You were leaving a lot on the field there.
Was I?
Yeah, with some of the drummies.
Well, he had a lot of players to get through, so.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, if I just had the
if
two
you have
drummies.
A whole bucket, you don't have to skin each one.
Right. Mm. I could leave some of the lower quality meats off to the side. I anticipated you guys eating it with me, and you guys didn't want any, so I was like, oh, okay.
Well, because you were, like, eating it over the bucket.
Ate for me. Oh, I offered you the piece before you. You said no.
Skin falling off.
Don't tell
the
him it was because I was eating over the bucket. Oh, I was eating over the bucket because no one else wanted it.
This is occurring to me a good KFC story that I witnessed, like, college days. Go in with a friend of mine, and a woman had walked up before us, and she had ordered the family, whatever, the bucket meal, and there were other things with sides, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And the guy who's working behind the counter says, is that for here or to go? And she was by herself. She goes, you think I'm going to eat this here all by myself? And he goes, I don't know your life. And that was the end of it. He's like, well,
this is sad, Brian. I knew someone who used to do that, but eat it themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And they would order cover items, like a couple kids' meals, and then mm-hmm. go out to their car in the parking lot of KFC and eat it.
Yeah. Aww. I mean, I'll just take it to go and then just eat it right outside the door. And, like, it's like, I want them to at least think that I'm not going to eat it all myself.
I'm a little surprised at the amount of people I've seen, like, on Twitter, people that I know, who will admit to ordering so much food for themselves, delivery, that they will pretend when they're either ordering it on the phone or when it arrives that somebody else is with them.
Oh, yeah.
They'll say, like, hey, the food's here. And
turn
they'll
around
go and
theatrically
get
to my empty house and go, like, guys, great news.
And I'm like, I thought
you
can
all come up from the basement now, all 40 of you.
Thought I was the only one.
So what about the car?
What about it?
Still not fixed?
Well, I mean, not since 11 o'clock last night did
Are
I get it.
Are there any plans to fix the headlights?
Get the headlights in it. Well, I'm not going to be driving it after dark anytime soon.
So you're a day walker now.
Yeah, I'm a day walker. Mm. I'm not worried about it. Not worried about it. It's fine.
123 DGS. So we heard from Wheeler today. Speaking of eight-year-olds, we just got a picture of a dinosaur with no explanation. Uh-huh. I didn't even answer. I'm not going to lower myself. I'm not playing your little eight-year-old reindeer games.
The caption said, like, rawr.
What? Is there a context? Am I forgetting something? Did we have a T-Rex conversation with him
or something? No, he just likes dinosaurs, I think.
He saw just
out of nowhere, he sent you all a...
Yep.
Yeah, it was like a big animatronic T-Rex or something, and he's like, rawr.
Oh, hey, I have a new TikTok trend. I'm really beginning to believe this is just a giant sociology experiment. I'm like Truman from the Truman mm-hmm. Show, and you're all just watching to see what I do next.
Fighting squirrels?
No worse. It is people taking their cats, usually kittens, mm-hmm. putting them in a shoebox, holding them in front of a big screen TV with roller coasters going, and then holding them right up to it as if they're on the roller coaster, and then shaking the box,
and then
the cat gets scared and puts its head down.
Aww. I love it.
You love it? That's horrible for the kitty.
No, it's fine. It's like the cat's on a roller coaster. It's fine.
They're not allowed to be on a roller coaster.
Yeah, so wouldn't they love to see what it's like?
They're too small.
You're not allowed. You're not allowed to be on the roller coaster.
So we've all seen the no cat signs.
They're not this tall.
Your tail must be this long to ride the ride. Now, but wouldn't it be great
you
to
must be
give
as tall
them
as Yosemite Sam and can't lick your butt. Which lets me out.
Which must be so great to let the cat experience.
Yeah, they seem like they're really enjoying it the way they
burrow
down
into
the box.
Yeah, they seem to really pine for roller coasters.
Rachel's watching the ones where they're punching the cats and dogs.
What are you talking about?
Where you bring the fist and then the cat puts its little paws up.
Well, that's funny. No animals were harmed in the making of these TikToks. It's basically like, oh, when I'm upset, they're the only one that can calm me down. And it's like they're about to punch the wall, but then it cuts to like their animal, like holding
their
fist.
Like with the paw
It's really
fist.
Cute.
It's very cute.
There's a video that I saw. It's probably not, now that I mention it, won't be as funny to you all, but it's a guy holding a cicada and it's all in slow motion. You just see the hand. And then he throws the cicada up and the cicada starts to fly. And this other fist comes out of nowhere and just punches it, which is. Like, whoa! Wasn't expecting that.
I have no problem with that.
I can hear cicadas in my house, but I haven't seen one until I got in the Jeep today to go to my doctor's appointment.
Oh, no.
And it was riding scrub. It was sitting in my passenger seat.
Oh, no.
Like, hey, where are we going?
The smell is so bad, just like further
dying
west.
And decaying.
Like it's decay and also like excrement. It just smells like excrement and death. So bad that like, I mean, we can't sit outside in the backyard right now. It's when once you smell it, it gets stuck in your nose hairs and you can't get it out of your nose.
They are big and loud and on covering everything in my little neck of the woods. They are on every possible surface. It's terrible. And they're so loud.
What in the world is his neck of the woods? Because he said he lived in a wooded area, and then he said he had to walk three houses to find a tree.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar.
Yeah. It's called a clearing, Amy.
There was also a dog with Alzheimer's.
What?
Well, where?
Yeah. Well, that was my family's. No, it wasn't my... Was it my family's dog? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
How do you know?
Charlie, but he had problems.
How did you know? It kept asking you the same question?
Yeah, kept barking in the same way over and over again.
How did you know?
They told us that he was having like memory issues.
How would they know that?
They know?
And I was like, he's a dog. He doesn't have to remember anything.
He's like, cat, whale. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did whale. I eat dinner?
There's no way they can know if a dog is having
that.
That.
It might have been like an animal communicator rather than like a vet. Have you guys heard about these?
What is it? Like
they're
a
also
psychic?
They're also kind of like a psychic almost. They're also picking up some steam on TikTok. Have you seen it, Rach?
No.
People who are like,
a Godfrey
here's what
dog
the animal
psychic told you that your dog had dementia.
Well, it would have been something that my parents did. I don't know. I never would take a dog. I would take my cat to a cat psychiatrist for sure. But no, it's they tell you like if your dog's favorite thing is being around you, which of course it is. It's a scam.
Oh my gosh.
133 DGS. Gen Z man. I feel like each generation we kind of figure some things out. Obviously we do like technologically and whatnot and medically, but we seem to just kind of go, well, that was stupid. Let's this or let's that. I feel like I'm from the generation of schmucks where I have bragged to these guys. Like, I've only missed 2 days of work my entire 24-year career. And Gen Z would be like, you're stupid. You're really, really stupid because you obviously worked when you were sick. And you should take every day, every hour of PTO that you get. You take every vacation day. You never leave it on the table. And then there's something called quiet vacationing, which is like quiet quitting, except for you still get paid, where if you are working from home, you just fake it and you go, you know, this kind of stuff. Mm. So have they figured it out, or are they just lazy pieces of crap?
I think a mix of the two. I think it's not good to quiet vacation. I think that's like, you know, I don't think that's like right.
Time theft.
To do. Yeah, I mean, that is, it's most generous. That's just time theft. But I also think that, you know, I've felt in the past like I am very much like I kind of have that, we'll say maybe a more boomer mentality about taking time off or whatever. I very rarely took time off earlier in my career. I still have never used all of my PTO in like a given year. And sometimes I feel like, well, maybe that's foolish. Maybe that's wrongheaded. I mean, no one is looking better upon you if you don't take any time off. You're just...
They really don't seem to.
Exactly.
I'll be honest. I get resentful when I see people take a lot of time off, even around here. But they're obviously not taking any more than what they have coming to them.
Exactly.
I'm the dumb one.
Exactly. And so in the last couple of years, I have felt like, well, that's probably a bit foolish of me to you know, I'm being offered benefits that I'm welcome to take, and I'm just being like, I'm good.
They're
no
yours.
Real reason. Exactly.
They are yours. Mm-hmm. It's to me, I think it's you asked the question if it's one or the other or a combination. And I think it is a combination of laziness, but also having figured it out. I think it's closer to having it figured out, though, because they have seen their parents who were not in the boomer generation, who went to work every single day, never took time off, but made a pretty good wage, were able to retire comfortably. That was their grandparents, right? And now their parents are not getting that same benefit, where maybe they're not taking all the days off they could, and their parents still aren't advancing up in the company like it used to happen. So they're saying, well, wait a minute. Why would I bust my ass and go in, go above and beyond, go past what my job duties tell me to, and never take time off, and I don't get rewarded for it? Because how often does it really happen? You don't hear employers or managers ever say, man, this guy never takes a day off. You know what I'm going to do for him? Here's a raise. They don't do that.
I feel like they used to.
But not
maybe,
anymore.
But I mean, I feel like, I mean, just looking at Dave and I, and I know Rachel also doesn't usually take all of her PTO in a year, I think. I mean, that's we've never converted that into more money. We've never converted that into, you know.
They just know that you won't do it.
Yeah, it's just leaving time that you could be spending
and
on
you're not
yourself.
Getting paid out for it.
Yeah, exactly. Some places pay out for it.
Right.
Our company does not. So there's no real reason to leave any on the table.
I think it depends on what your goals are, what your field is, what your industry is, what you are working for, what your job is, because you, I think sometimes there can be this idea that like work is somehow an injustice or a necessary evil or it's bad. It's okay to want to give it your all in work. It's okay to enjoy work or to want to do well, even if it's not for your boss, but for yourself to see what you can accomplish and maybe that parlay into a different thing, whether it's work or life or experience. And so, again, there's all different reasons and everyone's work experience is different. But I do sometimes feel like there's this emphasis like we've all been victimized by work, but I don't necessarily think that's true either. I think it just depends on the job, the company, the boss, the time, your goals. I mean, it's so contingent on so many factors, but I don't think you can take a broad brushstroke and say, like, you know, everyone who is working is somehow a victim of their job.
Well, I don't think most people think they're victims. I think what it is they've recognized that no matter whatever their job duties are, if they go above and beyond their job duties, they're not necessarily setting themselves up for more success. And they can
maybe
recognize
that
at that position,
yeah.
Not necessarily at another position either, because your next employer doesn't know that you stayed 80 hours, worked 80 hours when you were only required to work 40. They don't know that for sure. So I think that's what it is. It's a look, I'm going to take what's coming to me. You are paying me to do a job. You can still do that job well. You don't have to work double the amount of hours you're supposed to do a job well. You can still do all of that perfectly well and not kill yourself over it. And I think there's maybe more of a focus on, you know, trying to enjoy other parts of life and not necessarily it being work all the time.
I think that's the big shift. My dad cared about his family in that World War II kind of way. Mm-hmm. He didn't talk to us, but I mean, he cared about it. But his job, and he was a union carpenter, wasn't like he was a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. You know, like he had studied for it and went to school. But that was his persona. I mean, his job was his persona, and he would go to work after throwing up all night. He would go out there and climb scaffolds when it was 10 degrees or 100 degrees. And I have much more of that than I would probably like to admit or like to. I'm not sure my life has been better because of that, but I think you're right. I think it's closer to figuring it out because I really think this is taking it to a much broader scope. I really think that we were a created society. I don't believe in like an Illuminati or a shadow government or that individual people were like, here's what we're going to do. But it just happened. Mm-hmm. You know, that the government said they should be married. Let's give them a tax credit to get married. We should push them to this. We should push them to that. And then advertising became a thing where it was, here's the perfect American life. And, you know, I was just listening to a guy talk the other day. It's like, why do you think the houses were the American dream? Because banks can't lend you money on nothing. And there's only so many cars. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't the thing before that. And then banks got together and said, like, we need to push this American dream thing, being the home, so that we can get them in 30-year mortgages. I really feel like we've been played.
In a lot of ways, yeah. And now the home ownership thing is even tougher than it's ever. It's been increasingly getting more difficult. I mean, the financial crash in 2008, if you had any money at that time, you could buy a house real easy for a few years. It's gotten increasingly more difficult because of inventory. There isn't enough housing. And the housing that is out there sometimes being bought up by corporations, mm-hmm, who price people out. So that's been a difficult thing. That American dream thing, it might still exist to some extent, but it's not the way it was in the 50s and 60s.
But I don't think it's totally manufactured. I mean, you even go into ancient times. Sure, there are more communal tribes we've seen. But I mean, even in Bible times, they talk about every man can sit under his own olive tree, meaning there's some type of ownership. There's some type of home. There's always been something to a home and a family in one extent or another. So I don't think there's anything necessarily contrived about wanting to have a home as you look across countries across the globe. But I also think this whole idea of work as like your passion and love what you do, that's so new. That's so modern. That's such a luxury when you look at the whole of the human experience, when humans have been trying to survive for millennia. This is the first time where I can say, I want to try to make my living following my passion. They weren't saying that 500 years ago. I mean, one reason why
we have... 100 years ago.
Or 100 mm-hmm. years ago, why we have kind of this contrived notion of work. And wait a minute. It's
part of evolving, though, isn't it?
It is, but we have the luxury. This is not like, wow, we've devolved so badly that now look at us working 9 to 5. I mean, before, it was just survive and make it past the age of 22.
That suggests that what Gen Z is doing would be the next iteration of evolution. If it was just, I need to find enough grubs to live another day, and then it turned into, I'm 10 years old and I'm going to work with my dad, my grandpa in the coal mines, and then it turned into, I think I want to be a lawyer, and now it's turned into, I think I'm going to work 3 days a week. I mean, we seem to be going on a trajectory.
Well, yeah, but I think it's more wealth than it is like human experience, because we are very wealthy as a country, and so is Sweden, and so is England. And you look at other more subsistence agricultural societies, more tribal communities, they have less in common with us than they do people living 200 years ago. It is so driven by wealth. We always talk about the more money you have, the more choices you have. It's the same thing with nation states and societies as a whole.
Oh, we covered that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. Nice.
150 DGS on KMOX. So we started the hour with KFC. Let's bring it back around. Ladies mad because they don't have vegetarian food?
Yeah, someone posted online that they went to KFC with their boyfriend who is not a vegetarian, but she was. And I guess in the past, KFC had offered some sort of vegetarian option. The only thing I can think of is maybe like a famous bowl without chicken or something.
Yeah, like just a side of mashed potatoes, I guess.
But
yeah, fair enough. They got corn. Yeah. Shut up. They got slaw.
Yeah, you're right. They do have tons of vegetarian food at
KFC. It's almost a vegetarian restaurant.
Basically is. Yeah.
But
vegan
she was,
even.
She was complaining online, as people do. And my question is, I mean, should places be required to offer an alternative dish for the non-meat eaters among us?
No, right, I mean, and it is harsh when you encounter an issue like that. Like there's a big popular restaurant in Alton, and my wife and I went. It was a big family thing years ago, and she has a dietary restriction, and we said to them, this is our restriction. She is allergic to milk products and stuff, and they said, you lost. Take a hike. Yeah, they said, we're going to be of no help to you here.
Hmm.
Which is very surprising because it's like it's just like an American restaurant. It's like a family restaurant. You'd think that for sure they'd be like, oh yeah, we have a couple of various options for that. But they were just like, nope, not going to help you. Not interested.
I don't blame them. Now, if they said it like that, they should have been courteous. But I don't blame them. I might do the same thing because if I don't specifically have something for a dairy allergy, I don't want you or me taking that chance because I'm not cooking for you. I'm cooking for people without allergies, whether it's peanut or dairy or gluten or what have you. If someone told me that they had an allergy, especially a severe allergy that could be life-threatening, I'm probably going to tell them to err on the side of going somewhere else.
In general, we appreciate honesty. This guy, like I said, he was a little rude, a little
brusque.
A little brusque.
Was and it also Ronald?
No, it wasn't Ronald. But it was the kind of place it was you would expect them to make accommodations, I guess. But in general, we do appreciate, my wife and I, the honesty. If we say to somebody like, hey, what do you think? And they go, yeah, this is not the place for you.
Yeah,
that's a food allergy is a little bit different, I think, because there's nothing you can do about being allergic to, you know, peanuts or whatever.
And I don't have an allergy, but when I've been with like someone who has and you bring it up to the server who brings it up to the chef, I mean, they most of the time they've kind of gone overboard saying we cannot, you know, promise that this spoon or this dish
pan.
And we are very concerned, but not in a, they haven't been rude. They've just been honestly genuinely concerned. Yeah.
My niece has a terrible allergy to peppers, like bell peppers.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
wow.
She just basically can't go out.
Right. Yep.
Because cook something in a pan, put the peppers in there, even wash it, come back. It
cross contamination is a very big deal, especially
that's
with the peppers.
That's why you don't like robots.
Have the capsaicin and stuff in it, the oils.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I don't like robots. I have a huge problem with robots taking over, you know, the kind of burger flipping aspect of our society and our service industry. And I think there's already some White Castles that are introducing them in this area. And I hate it because you can't guarantee me that the robot is going to not have, you know, cheese stuck on it that it has no way of knowing is even there, and then it grabs a burger or whatever and flips it, and now that's something that could be very, very dangerous or even fatal to my wife if she eats it.
That is a huge deal. That is very serious. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I'm like picturing like a cheesy robot. Just, like,
yeah, a robot like dripping in with cheese. Like,
yes, he's just messy. Like, gosh,
oh, man.
Darn it.
This is going bad.
Like his movements are like this, and he's just like chucking.
He's got flour on his face.
He's like Lucy at the Chocolate Factory. He's just like, oh, this is a real situation I found myself in.
Crap.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's my first day. I need this job so bad.
This is the guy that ate the whole chicken.
They're going to fire me for sure.
It's just messy robots. Pull yourself together.
Yeah, the other robots are like, get it together.
You know,
this isn't even the lunch rush.
Rachel, to the
You're not
going to
cut
thing.
It here, man.
Yes.
Don't you feel like this lady should have a greater talk with her boyfriend?
Right. Like, if
about,
she's
like, hey,
a vegetarian,
honey,
they
we
could
go to
a
KFC.
Better, right, a better restaurant than that. I mean, I love KFC.
But
don't get me wrong.
This is like the social media post where it's like, here's a recipe for my grandma's bean soup. What if I don't like beans?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then this recipe's not for you. Move on. Yeah. Not everything is for you.
One star. Hey, it looks like a fine recipe, but I hate beans. It's like,
in defense of KFC, the word chicken is in the title of the restaurant.
Yeah.
So a vegetarian
and
might be barking up the wrong tree.
Five or six things you could have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have mashed potatoes. Corn. They're famous for their mashed potatoes. Yeah.
Here's a steak frites recipe. What if I don't like steak? Well,
not been on frites.
I mean, I don't. Yeah. I you want to make accommodations, I think, for people who do have serious allergies and feel like they can't go anywhere to eat because you can, you know, get really, really sick. But if your preference is, I don't eat this certain thing because I just don't like it, well, sorry, man. Figure it out. Go somewhere else. Go to a place not with chicken in the title.